We're going to learn Likutei Sichos Chelek Yudalid, Book 14, the Sicha of Ha'azinu, base, second Sicha of Ha'azinu. In this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the Bnei Yisrael, and he says, Ha'azinu Hashamayim, listen heaven and I will speak, and let the earth be a witness and hear the following words of my mouth. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm going to teach Torah. Let my Torah teaching drip like rain and give life to the world. Let my words flow like dew. And then he says, when I call out and mention the name of Hashem, respond and ascribe greatness to Hashem. Ki shem Hashem ekra havu goyda lelekeinu. Says the Gemara in Brachos that from this pasuk we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu is about to tell the Bnei Yisrael Torah. And he says to them, when I call out in the name of Hashem, respond with greatness to Hashem. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu going to call out in the name of Hashem before he says these words? Says Rashi there, that when Moshe comes to say these words of Hazinu, he told the Bnei Yisrael, in preparation for that, I'm going to make a bracha, and you will answer after me, Amen. So Kishem Hashem Ekra, when I call out in the name of Hashem to make a bracha, prior to saying these next words of Torah, which is the entire portion of Hazinu, the song of Hazinu, you then respond by saying Amen. Give thanks to Hashem and respond to my bracha with Amen. Says the Gemara in Brachas. From here we can see that we need to make a bracha on learning Torah. Right? So this the Rebbe starts with this, quoting this Gemara. How do we know that we have to make a bracha on Torah? Because of this verse in our pasuk that says, when I call out, Moshe Rabbeinu says, when I call out in the name of Hashem, you too, Bnei Yisrael, say Amen, give thanks to Hashem. In other words, we need to give. Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching that you have to say praise to Hashem before you teach Torah. Now from this, that l'chaira, we know by every mitzvah, learning Torah is a mitzvah. So don't we have a bracha before we do any mitzvah? Says the Rebbe, for the fact that there needs to be a distinct learning and teaching about this in the Gemara, based on the pasuk. And by the way, some say it's from this because it's based on a pasuk. It's actually a mitzvah saseh de'iraisa. It's a biblical commandment to make a bracha before learning Torah. Others say it's a rabbanan commandment, but it's based an asmachta. It's based on the words of the pasuk. But at any rate, in any case, why do we need a separate learning about that? It's a mitzvah like all mitzvahs. So shouldn't just like we make a mitzvah before we eat matzah, obviously we should make a mitzvah before we learn Torah. Says the Rebbe, the difference is because regular mitzvahs is giving thanks to Hashem for the fact that He sanctifies us and gives us the gift of doing a mitzvah. Whereas Birchas HaTorah, the bracha about making Torah, is about the actual learning of Torah, not just the mitzvah of learning, but the actual beauty and gift of learning Torah. And so is evident from the Lashon of the Alter Rebbe, when he speaks about making the bracha of the Torah, he says every person should view himself, his relationship with it, should view the Torah, should realize that the Torah is the special beloved keli, the special beloved item of Hashem, who it says about Torah that Hashem was delighting with it, mishta'asheya, delighting with it, taking pleasure in it every day. And now that Hashem has given it to us and allowed us to also study and enjoy and benefit from the Torah, so therefore you should make a bracha on it, besimcha, with a great joy, more than the bracha that you make on any other kind of benefit that you can have in this world. So from here we understand that actually the bracha is not just a bracha about the mitzvah of learning Torah. It's actually a bracha just like, similar to making a bracha before we partake in any other thing that grants us, gifts us enjoyment. Now here are just a few things that we should put in. The word Birchas HaTorah actually includes several brachas. I'm going to open a siddur and just go briefly through what is meant by Birchas HaTorah. So, we have the morning blessings. Okay, we thank Hashem for waking up. We thank Hashem for the crowing of the rooster, for the fact that we can discern between day and night. We thank Hashem for straightening our limbs. And then we thank Hashem, we ask Hashem to protect us from the Yetzer Hara and so on and so forth. And then we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are we Hashem, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvaso V'tzivanu Al Divrei Torah, who has commanded us, sanctified us with His commandments, and commanded us about the mitzvah of learning Torah. This is the first part of the brachas of Torah. And then we continue, we say, V'harevno, Hashem, make the teachings of your Torah pleasant in our mouths and in the mouths of your entire people, the house of Israel. And may we, our children, and the children of your entire people, the house of Israel, all be knowers of your name and students of your Torah for its own sake. Blessed are you, Hashem, Baruch Atah Hashem, who teaches the Torah to his people Israel. Not finished yet. And it continues with the bracha many will be familiar with from the Aliyah LeTorah. Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, Hashem, right? Hashem, Baruch Arbanu Mikol Amim. We say it every morning as part of the Baruch HaTorah. Blessed are you, Hashem, who has chosen us from among all the nations and given us his Torah. Baruch HaTorah Hashem, who gives us the Torah. So those, what sounds like three brachas, those are what we refer to as the brachas on Torah. So those brachas are not just regular brachas that we're thanking Hashem for the mitzvah of learning Torah. Indeed, the first part, you would be correct to note, the Rebbe points this out in a footnote, that the first bracha is a bracha that we thank Hashem for the mitzvah of learning Torah. So there's one element of that. Yes, we thank Hashem for the sanctification of giving us connection to Him of the mitzvah of learning. And then we continue and we speak about the beauty of Torah. We ask that the Torah should be part of our family heritage. We should love it. It should be pleasant in our mouths. And it should continue in our families for all generations and in all of the Jewish people for all generations. And then we thank Hashem for choosing us and for giving us His Torah. In other words, this is a bracha where we pay homage, where we appreciate the beauty and the gift that Hashem has taken something that's considered to be His delight and given it to us to study. It says the Alter Rebbe, therefore we have to learn it with a lot of simcha, with a lot of joy. More than the joy we have from anything else we can have benefit in. What else can you have benefit in this world? Here we are able to enjoy and to cherish and to relish something which is called that which Hashem himself takes pleasure in. The Rebbe here, in a footnote, points out that it's like making a bracha for something you enjoy, but the Alter Rebbe uses different language than the Levush. The Levush says it's literally seems to describe it as just like you make a bracha on eating an ice cream. So lahavdil, Torah is something even more enjoyable. And indeed, there's much enjoyment in the actual understanding of learning Torah. But the Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe doesn't use that word to say that it's literally a bracha that we make on having benefit. For two reasons, two basic reasons. It's a long footnote, very scholarly and erudite. I'll try and share the little that I grasped and what's relevant to I think, directly to this point. And that is two things. The Alter Rebbe doesn't say you literally have benefit because there's a halacha about saying the brachas of Torah. If somebody doesn't know how to study, but he's going to say verbally the biblical, the written Torah, if you say it even without understanding it, it's a mitzvah. So let's say somebody doesn't and has no knowledge of Torah, but he knows how to read Hebrew, or he knows how to read. So he's gonna let's say Tehillim or say verses of the written Torah, makes a bracha on it, even though he doesn't understand it. So it's obvious that the bracha is not just on the enjoyment of case. Also, now when we talk about the oral Torah, it's only considered study of Torah when you understand it. So if you're studying Talmud, for example, you're studying Gemara and you didn't understand, just reading the words, that's not considered Talmud Torah, it's not considered learning Torah. Whereas if you're learning Chumash or Tehillim, you're reading it, you actually have the mitzvah of studying Torah. So you may ask, one second, so actually you don't have to make a bracha on learning Torah if you're just going to read oral Torah without understanding it. Aye, but what about the beauty of the Torah? You will ask if the bracha is about the beauty and the gift of learning the Torah that Hashem calls His delight, and we're able to learn it, so shouldn't we make a bracha when we read oral Torah if we don't understand it? So the Rebbe says, the Rebbe answers that Yashleima, that it's because when we talk about receiving that Torah, that's what we make the bracha on, well, receiving the oral Torah is only really complete when you understand it. When you're just reading it, it's not actually considered as if you can make a bracha on it, that you have it. The written Torah, because it's the written word of Hashem, the moment you say it, it's received, even if you didn't understand it. That's a parenthetical note. Another thing why the Rebbe says that the Alter Rebbe didn't say it's literally a bracha on enjoyment, because that would be contrary to a Ramban, Nachmanides, who says that we only make brachas on things that the body enjoys. Smell is one of those interesting halfway marks, because we say that even though the neshama benefits from smell, but the body has nachas from it. So on those things that are ingested, the body has benefit, we make a bracha. Torah wouldn't fit in that criteria to make a bracha on as a benefit, as an enjoyment. So therefore the Alter Rebbe doesn't say that this is literally a bracha of nenin, that this is a bracha like making a bracha on bread or on a cup of water. But he says it's a bracha similar, of course, it's similar. We have to make a bracha in a way that it's similar to Birchas HaNenin. It's something which we make with, but he says that that's the way we should make the bracha, with a lot of joy. More than any benefit in the world, but not that this is the same kind of bracha as whenever we have benefit. Okay, so I hope I haven't taken you too far out. I thought this was relevant and interesting to the immediate discussion. So what have we said? There's a bracha on Torah, and these brachas on Torah are different than regular brachas on Enin. They're a series of three brachas. They talk about the beauty and the gift and the joy we have in receiving the Torah. Continues the Alter Rebbe and says that women are also obligated to make the brachas on the Torah, because they too are obligated to learn Torah in reference to the mitzvahs that they need to fulfill. In order to know how to do the mitzvahs, the positive commandments that they're obligated in, and all of the negative commandments which they are obligated in, all of them like men. In other words, we know that women are obligated in the positive mitzvahs only those which are not time-bound. So for example, tefillin is only put on by day, so women are not obligated in tefillin. Various other mitzvahs, all the other positive mitzvahs, which are not time bound, women are obligated just like men. And all the negative commandments, for example, all the laws of Shabbos, which are don't do this, don't do that, all women are obligated just like men. So they have an obligation to learn all of the laws regarding that. I'll say parenthetically, it's well known what is said in the name of many gedolim, that halavai, I wish that men would know all the halachas that women are obligated to know. It's a wealth. It's to know all the intricacies. It's first of all knowing all the laws of Shabbos, for example, and so on. So it's a wealth. It's a width and a breadth that is difficult to learn in a lifetime. But this is an obligation that they have to study. So therefore, since they have that obligation to study Torah, so therefore they can make a bracha. In other words, if it would just be making a bracha voluntarily, they could study Torah. And as the Rebbe said, in our generation, women are encouraged to study all parts of Torah, even Gemara, which was discouraged in previous generations. But still, that would be voluntary. And here we're making a bracha. They're obligated to make a bracha, which means they have an obligation to study Torah. Says the Alter Rebbe, yes, the obligation for them to study Torah is in all the parts of Torah that they're obligated to fulfill. So they have to study it to know it. So they have an obligation, just like men, in studying Torah, in that segment of Torah. And therefore, according to that, if the Alter Rebbe brought that, that means to say that the reason to make the bracha on Torah is because it's a mitzvah. Because the only distinction between Torah, between men and women, is how much of a mitzvah, which parts of it is a mitzvah, is a commandment of women to learn. But if, as we just said, the bracha of making the Torah is because the actual gift of Torah, the actual gift that we mortal humans are given, something are given, the gift of attaching to the wisdom of Hashem and learning it. So what does that have to do with how obligated we are in learning Torah? That is given equally to men and women, to all of Bnei Yisrael. And that which it says, Kishem Hashem Ekra, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, for I call out in the name of Hashem, let me give thanks to Hashem, that would include women just as much as men. So why does the Alter Rebbe need to say that women also have obligations in studying certain parts of Torah? So then the Rebbe continues in his base in second chapter. So we'll understand this first by understanding another thing. Let's delve a little bit into the meaning, into some of the parameters of the brachas of Torah. Why don't we make a bracha of Birchas HaTorah anytime we come to learn? In other words, why is it part of the morning blessings? Why isn't it that every time we come to learn, just like we drink a cup of water, I just made a bracha, you come and study Torah, you make a bracha? Or, on the other hand, if you want to say that it's something that encompasses the person constantly, so why don't we just make a bracha one time in a lifetime? Or one time a year?
Once a year, I mean, it's an ongoing thing. So once a year, we should stop and make a bracha on Torah, or perhaps at the bar mitzvah. And in that case, at the bas mitzvah, we should make a bracha for having received the Torah. And that's it. That should be enough for a lifetime. I mean, it's an obligation constantly. Why is it? Why? And if we say, no, every time you have that benefit, every time you learn Torah, you should make a bracha. So let's make it every time we learn Torah. Why does it become a daily bracha? So the halacha is, taka, the halacha is we make it once a day. That's the way it works. We make it once a day, and this goes for the entire day, even if we interrupt it in between. However, there is a differing opinion in Shulchan Aruch. The Alter Rebbe writes as follows, that it's not so simple. There is the opinion that it's not so simple that it's just made once a day and whatever happens doesn't matter. You never make a bracha throughout the day. There's another opinion. Remember, this is not la halacha. We don't do this. But this is another train of thought in halacha. And this is the other opinion. Alter Rebbe writes, according to this other opinion, if it's a person who regularly learns, so even when he goes out to do business, he's constantly thinking, when can I get back to my study of Torah? So then his being occupied in something else is not considered an interruption from his Torah, because he's constantly thinking about, his underlying thought is, when can I get back to my main occupation of studying Torah? However, similarly, the same thing would apply even if he's gone to the bathhouse. When he's in the bathhouse or even in the bathroom, he's not taking his mind off the fact that he wants to get back to studying. And this would be the same case if he sleeps a light sleep, like during the day, that wouldn't be considered an interruption from his Torah study. However, if he went for a deep sleep, in other words, he went for a sleep without, he went for a regular sleep, and this would already be considered a hefsek, this would be considered an interruption from his bracha on the Torah, and according to this opinion, which we don't actualize, he would make another bracha of Torah. It's an interruption from the first bracha he made on the Torah. And then the Alter Rebbe brings the second opinion, that the Birchas HaTorah, the bracha, is just like the morning blessings. You make it in the morning and it goes on the whole day, and the Alter Rebbe says, this is our custom. But let's understand, there is a distinction here, we said, about the interruption. According to that opinion, that says the bracha can be interrupted, we said the interruption is if he goes to only if he totally takes his mind off the tefillin, the Torah study. Let's contrast this to tefillin, says the Rebbe. Let's ask a question. About tefillin, the Alter Rebbe says, a halacha, that somebody who takes off his tefillin and he was intending to come back and put them on again. So if he intended to put them on again when he took him, and he put them on right away, so then he doesn't have to make another bracha, because his first bracha still goes. So he took them off, but he intended to put them right back on, and then he put them back on. He doesn't have to make a new bracha. If, however, he went to the bathroom in between, since at that time he wasn't able to have the tefillin on his head, so it doesn't matter that he wants to go and put them back. He has to make a bracha as if he had no intention to put them on again. So one second, why is there a difference between the bracha of Torah? By the Torah, we said if he had intentionality to go and continue studying, even though he went to a place where he's not allowed to study, in the bathroom, you're not allowed to study. It's not a place that's clean and you're not allowed to study. You're not even supposed to think about Torah. So why there, in that case, we said you don't have to make any bracha. Right? And whereas, when it comes to tefillin, we said that if you're in a place where you're not able to put on tefillin, you have to make a new bracha. So with learning Torah, we said it's enough that he intends to go back to study Torah, even though he can't study Torah in this particular place. Whereas with tefillin, we say, no, if you can't put on tefillin in that place, so even though you intended to put back on the tefillin, that's considered an interruption. Yep. It says the Rebbe, we cannot make the distinction that we could possibly offer the following distinction. What's the distinction? That tefillin are different, because tefillin you're not allowed to have on you when you go to the bathroom. But again, you're not allowed to study Torah when you go to the bathroom either. You're not even allowed to think about Torah. So what's the difference? So let's take a look in the laws of tefillin here for a second. Okay, so the laws of tefillin will say, Asur lahaniach, this is in chapter 28 in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to be masiach das. You're not allowed to remove your mind from the tefillin, so long as they are on you. even for one moment. And this we learn as a kal v'chomer, how much more so from the tzitz. The tzitz was that band that the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, wore on his head always. What did it say on it? It says, Kodesh LaHashem, holy to Hashem. And it says that that has to be on his forehead always. And we understand from that, the always there means it always has to be on his forehead and he always has to be mindful of it. So if the tzitz, which only has one time the word of Hashem, nonetheless it says the Kohen Gadol always has to be mindful of it, he can't remove his attention from it. So the tefillin has many names of Hashem in it, how much more so that you shouldn't remove your attention from it. And he continues, and what is called taking your mind off it? That's only, says Dalta, I'm quoting Dalta Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, it's only when you stand in jest, it says here in schoik, in lightheadedness, in jest or lightheadedness, or in brackets, Dalta Rebbe adds that a person has brought himself to a state of bothersomeness, to a state of worry and anxiety, so much about the needs of his body, till his heart has moved away from God-fearingness because of his zutrogenkeit, his being bothered, his being pulled down, bogged down, anxious about his needs. However, when a person is standing in a state of fear of Hashem, awe of Hashem, and he's dealing with his mundane needs, even though he's dealing with his work and with his trade, and his mind is not literally on the tefillin, this is not considered moving the mind away from the tefillin. For if not, if we don't say that, how could a person possibly go on tefillin a whole day? It's known that people used to, in the time of the Gemara, it was expected that you went in tefillin all day. A Jewish man walked around always in talis and tefillin. It's all the time and tefillin. But they also went about their own mundane activities. However, it's a mitzvah, it's a choice mitzvah. Today we don't do that because we don't consider that we're not able to keep ourselves in a state of mindfulness and the body in a clean position to be wearing tefillin all the time. So we wear them for davening. But nonetheless, when we do wear them, it's a mitzvah, also it's a choice mitzvah, b'chlal, about tefillin, not to ever take your mind away. Except when a person is studying Torah, then he's focused on the Torah. Or when a person is davening, so then his focus is on davening. He's davening Shmon Esrei. Okay, says the Rebbe, now we have to understand. The basis for this mitzvah, we said, is from the tzitz, right? That the tzitz has to be on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol constantly. He shouldn't remove his mind from it. So then why is it that we said that the only time it's considered moving your mind away from it is only when you're involved in the words are schoik or kalus reish. Schoik is literally laughter. Kalus reish is literally lightheadedness, which means to say you're involved in something that is not part of your mission statement. Laughing, scoffing, a lighter moment, a relaxation. Yeah? When you're kind of time out. Let's call this time out. So, I mean, because when you're busy in making your livelihood, when you're busy in doing your profession, that's not time out. That's part of being mindful of doing what Hashem wants from you here. But when a person kind of kicks his shoes off and lies on the couch, where it's kind of like, you know, relaxation, time out. In a way, again, relaxation is also a good thing when it's focused on making you, this is parenthetical what I'm saying. The Rebbe doesn't go into this. But tzchek and kalus reish means lightheadedness and laughter, which isn't part of your service of Hashem, not part of the not part of the program, so to speak. So the question is, the tzitz you always have to be, the Kohen Gadol always have to be mindful of. However, here the Alter Rebbe says that there's something else. No, there's, even if you're not with the tefillin, you don't have to be mindful of the tefillin, but you have to make sure you're not taking yourself out of the program and removing your mind from tefillin. Why is only that extreme considered taking your mind off the tefillin? So you could say bedoichik, with the Rebbe says bedoichik, and if you push it, you could try and say that the distinction is like this: the din that you're not supposed to take your mind off tefillin is only that literally you shouldn't wrestle your mind away, pull your mind, wrench your mind away, your thoughts away from tefillin. In other words, when you're doing something that's out of the program, not part of the service of Hashem, it means you're literally ripping yourself away. It's a kavana hofchis. It's an opposite intention. It's not you didn't have intention on the tefillin. It's you had intention against the tefillin. We'll soon see what that would mean. It's not just moving your mind away. But you can't really say that Alter Rebbe is saying this because, first of all, the tzitz, if we're learning it from the tzitz, it wasn't the mitzvah on the Kohen Gadol not to move his mind away, not to listen to comedy during the tzitz. No, it's on the contrary. It's a positive thing that his mind always has to be on the tzitz. He always has to be focused. Not just, he has to make sure he's not totally unfocused. Another thing is that the Lashon of Alter Rebbe is that you're not allowed to, the law is, you're not allowed to take your mind away from the tefillin even one moment. And he adds this, even though it's not in the big Shulchan Aruch that preceded him, Rabbi Yosef Karo, and it's not in the Torah. So it's an addition of the Alter Rebbe, so that's a razor-sharp clarification on the mitzvah of tefillin. The mindfulness of tefillin is you have to have intention on the tefillin, not just not to have schoik v'kalus resh, which is mashma, that means literally, that person has to have his focus on the tefillin. And not just to not to do something opposite of it. So the question is, so if a person always has to be mindful of the tefillin, so why is it that what do we call being unfocused on the tefillin? We say you can do your work, go do your trade, but only don't do something that's schaik v'kalos reish. Why is that? What does that mean? And then what we're going to have to remember in the background, what we're trying to understand is that with the tefillin somehow, if they're going to the bathroom because you can't put them on, that's an interruption. Doing your work not, but going to the bathroom where you can't study is an interruption. With the Torah, the bracha on the Torah, we said, no, so long as you're generally planning to go back to study, even if you went to the bathroom, even though you can't study there, the bracha is not interrupted. You don't have to make a new bracha when you come out. So all these things require clarification. So the explanation of all this is, said the Rebbe, now in chapter 4, in the mitzvah of tefillin, there's two things. There's the actual placing the tefillin. And then there's the intention of the mitzvah. The intention of the mitzvah is, every morning before we put on tefillin, Alter Rebbe sums this up in the Shulchan Aruch. What is the intention? What's the intention we should have when we put on tefillin? I'm going to read it from the Siddur of the Alter Rebbe in its translation. When putting on tefillin, we bear in mind that Hashem commanded us to write the tefillin, these four specific biblical passages which talk about His unity, and the exodus from Egypt, in order that we remember the miracles and wonders He performed for us. They indicate His unity and His omnipotence. He can do anything. He has instructed us to place the arm tefillin adjacent to the heart, and the head tefillin over the brain. And here are the key words now that we're going to focus on. L'shabed halev v'hamoyach. So that we submit our soul, which is in the brain, as well as the desires and thoughts of our heart, to His service. Thus, by putting on the tefillin, one will be mindful of the Creator and restrict His pleasures. So the key words here is l'shabed hamoyach v'halev. We want to commit our hearts and minds, our minds and hearts, to be focused on Hashem, doing what Hashem wants. So the tefillin on the head and on the heart, the position of them is so that the mind should be telling the heart, and both of those should be focused on doing what Hashem wants. So, even if somebody is not thinking directly about the tefillin, that would not be considered as if he took his mind off from the placing of tefillin. So long as the tefillin are placed on him, so that mitzvah is being fulfilled, right? We said there's two parts. There's the mitzvah of placing the tefillin, and there's the mitzvah of the fact that the meaning of the mitzvah, that his mind and heart are submitted to God. So long as the tefillin are on him, the fact that they're on him means that there's no interruption. That the mitzvah is continuing. When he takes off the tefillin, so therefore it's quite obvious that the bracha, as long as the tefillin is on him, the bracha he made for putting on tefillin is still continuing. They're on him. That mitzvah is continued. However, when it comes to taking off his tefillin, so now the hanochas tefillin, the placing of tefillin, is no longer there. They're not on him anymore. And therefore, he really technically would have to make a new bracha when he puts on the tefillin again, unless his mind is still on the tefillin. More so, even if his mind was on the tefillin. But if he did something that because of that he wasn't actually able to put on tefillin at that time, in the bathroom. So it doesn't help that he was mindful that he wanted to put on the tefillin again. because since there has to be a continuation to the hanochas tefillin, to the placing of tefillin, the continuation has been broken. He was in a place where he couldn't put on tefillin. So therefore, the since it has to be a continuation to the putting on tefillin, and he had in mind to put them on again, he's taking them off mindfully, but if he was in a place where he now couldn't put them on, so that's a hefsek, right? It doesn't help that he thought, I'm going to put them on again, if he put himself in, if he now is in a place where he's not able to put them on, so that breaks it up. However, okay, beautiful. Now, since one of the mitzvahs of tefillin, as we said, it's not just that it's nice to think about submitting your mind and heart when you put on tefillin. This is the actual part of the mitzvah. Since this is part of the mitzvah, so we understand that you also, it's when we put on tefillin, we need to do also constantly. Same way that tefillin is always on you when they're on you. They also, that part of the mitzvah of submitting the mind and heart also has to be with you at all times. So therefore, you have to have that intentionality that you're submitting your mind and heart, your heart and mind to Hashem. And mitzad this, and in terms of this intentionality, you're always standing, so to speak, in the presence and therefore in awe of Hashem. And so therefore, even if you're just stam, even if you're just in a autopilot, so mind, mode afterwards, and therefore, even if you're doing your thing that you're supposed to be doing, you're not literally thinking about the tefillin, but that general intentionality that was on you when you put the tefillin on continues for the time afterwards. It's not considered as if you moved your mind away from that aspect of the tefillin. Just like, for example, when something needs to be done lishma, has to be done with intentionality. It's mainly at the beginning, like a get has to be written, a divorce has to be written, especially for the man and woman that they're intended for. So the sefer thinks about it when he starts to write the get, but then he's actually writing, he's thinking about what he's writing. When somebody writes a sefer Torah, we know that the sefer says this is for the sake of writing, for the sake of the holiness of the sefer Torah. So it's enough what he says it at the beginning, Hareini Kosev L'Shem Kedusha Sefer Torah, I'm writing this on for the sake of the sefer Torah. And that's enough. Right? However, and so how much more so when it comes to tefillin, that when we talk about hesach hadas from tefillin, we talk about moving your mind away from tefillin, we're talking about the problem of moving your mind away is from the general concept of your mind and heart being submitted to Hashem. In other words, it's not a conscious, constant feeling, the constant remembrance of mind and heart. You've said, okay, I'm going to bring myself, I'm going to submit my mind and heart to Hashem. Whatever I'm going to do now is for the sake of Hashem. So the status quo afterwards, until you uproot that status quo, is that you're in a state of mindfulness, that you're now in the zone, so to speak, of doing for of being submitted mind and heart to Hashem. The tzitz is this most stringent of them, because even though it's similar to tefillin in as much that there's the name of Hashem on the Kohen Gadol, just like in tefillin the name of Hashem is on us, but the tzitz has an active function to atone and make accepting the blood and fats that were brought up as a carbon, and perhaps they weren't brought up with the right intention by the owners or by the Kohanim, but therefore the Kohen Gadol always was in that state of mindfulness. But that's a more active kind of thing. There was a certain carbon in a certain time. I must say that this paragraph in the Sicha, I would love to hear some more clarity. I'm not so clear on that. But it seems, from what I understand, that the tzitz, because it's more, it's actually doing a function with karbanis being brought to make sure that they're acceptable. So it has to be more of a intentional focus constantly on the fact that it's wearing the tzitz and the function that it's performing. So when it comes to tefillin, though, it's a general mindset. And therefore, it's considered when a person is bischoik or kalos rois, when he's doing something that's not part of the program, so to speak, of serving Hashem, it's like an off moment, that would be called taking your mind away from the tefillin. In other words, from that's opposing the general concept of submitting your mind and heart to Hashem. Because here you're doing something that's not focused towards Hashem. And that, therefore, would be considered Hesach Hadas. There's an interesting footnote here. This is only with regards to tefillin, that taking that moment of time out, so to speak, would be considered moving your mind away from the tefillin. If somebody in the middle of writing a get, for example, started writing it with the intentionality to write for the man and woman that are intended to be divorced with this bill of divorce, and somebody told a joke, he took an off moment to have a lighter moment, that wouldn't, says the Rebbe, be considered taking your mind away when he goes back to writing, that he's writing it for this man and woman, even without rethinking it. Because the concept of tefillin is, the intentionality of tefillin is, he has to be in a state of awe, okay, of Hashem, in the presence of Hashem. Moving away from that is opposing that state of mind. Having a light moment and writing a get is not moving away from having the intention of writing the get for these particular people. It doesn't oppose it. Moving away from serving Hashem by having a schoik v'kalus roish is taking yourself away from the default position you've placed yourself in when you put on your tefillin. Now says the Alter Rebbe, now with chapter 5. The Alter Rebbe brings two opinions about Birchas HaTorah. When you make the bracha of the Torah, there's two opinions. One is, every day when we make the bracha, that we have to right away learn Torah. Oh, actually, it starts the opposite. One is, the opinion is that you don't have to learn Torah right away. You made the bracha and learn the Torah. We know when you make a bracha on an apple, you have to eat the apple right away. When you make a bracha and learn the Torah, some say that you don't have to learn Torah right away. Because even though you make a bracha between learning and studying, it's as if you were in the middle of the day and interrupted. Just like you interrupt the middle of the day your study, you don't make a new bracha satayra. Similarly, when it comes to the bracha you make in the morning, it's not like the bracha of a mitzvah. You make the bracha to put on tefillin, you have to put on tefillin right away. But since Talmud Torah, learning Torah, you're obligated constantly. So when you make an interruption between learning and the bracha, it's not considered an interruption, because when you interrupted, you also had an obligation to learn. So the obligation is always there. So it doesn't matter if you started right away learning Torah after you made the bracha or not. Some oppose that, and it's better to be careful to do as that opposing view. And therefore, indeed, in the brachas in our morning blessings, right away we say Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, the verses of benediction from the portion of Nasei that the Kohanim say. And we say those psukim to be saying Torah right after we make the bracha of Torah. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Noseina Torah, and then we right away move to the verses Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe, to the verses of the benediction of the Kohanim, so that we fulfill that opinion that says that we should, just like all other brachas, we should do what we're making a bracha on right after we make the bracha. Says the Rebbe, in order not to create any greater machlekes, there's a concept, if we can narrow the bridge between two opinions by making their argument on a very particular item rather than a much broader one, we try and do that. We're always trying to minimize machlekes. Even when there's two opinions, we're trying to see how close we can get them. So said Zerebe that we can say even that second opinion, it says better to, that we have to study Torah right after we make the bracha, they're not arguing about the fact that there's an obligation to constantly study. And therefore, even when he's not studying Torah, he's connected to the Torah. So really his bracha on the Torah, even though he didn't start learning Torah right away afterwards, there's still no break between the bracha and the Torah. However, the only argument is not about the middle of the day if you stopped. The only argument is about whether you can apply this thinking even before you actually studied. Or because you made a brach on the study, you should right away study Torah. That's the argument, only about the beginning of the day. But generally about the obligation that there is, also that opinion would hold. There is an obligation constantly, and when you stop studying Torah in the middle of the day, since the obligation is always on you, you still can, the same first bracha continues. Just to have a focused argument about the first learning of the day. At any rate, since there is an obligation to constantly study, so therefore, the fact that there's an obligation constantly to study Torah, this connects the Torah to the person always, and therefore he can never really be moving his mind away from it. And therefore, even if he goes into the bathhouse or into the bathroom, where he's not allowed to actually occupy himself in Torah, but because he has that obligation upon himself, it's just that there is like a lion that's crouching on it. There's a lion there, not letting him move. The lion is there. But that's a Talmudic concept. But the actual obligation is there. There's just something not letting him do it. It was in the bathroom. So therefore, but since the obligation is there and he has his intentionality generally to be involved in learning and to go back to the learning, so that constant obligation that's upon him is enough that it shouldn't be considered a hefsek. However, if a person sleeps in a permanent sleep, in a kind of a deep sleep, or somebody who has no intention to continue learning, it's not his thing to learn. He does his few chapters of learning in the prayers in the morning or whatever it is, and that's it. So then when he's not studying and he moved his mind away from learning, that's an actual moving your mind away from learning. So that would be considered, that could be considered interruption, and therefore there is an opinion that you have to make a new bracha. Again, we don't do that. The arminig is that we make one bracha in the day. It doesn't matter if we are regular learners or not regular learners, intentionality or not. But regardless, even according to that opinion, somebody who's intending to learn, even though he went to the bathroom and he can't learn, but what connects him to the mitzvah is his obligation to the mitzvah, and he has a general mindfulness to continue to study. There's just something that's not letting him do it. That's not enough of an interruption. So tefillin is different because there's two parts of tefillin. There's the putting on tefillin. That the bracha is on putting on tefillin. That's one integral part of the tefillin. You don't have that. You can't have that when you're in the bathroom. And the obligation of hesech hadas. The hesech hadas is what? You have to have mindfulness generally of being in the presence of Hashem. So that's why hesech hadas, moving your mind away from the tefillin. So therefore, we talk about moving your mind away from the tefillin, since you can't put on tefillin. So the hanocha has been interrupted. The placing has been interrupted. However, with Torah, since your connection, the blessing of the Torah, we said, what is the blessing of the Torah on? It's about your obligation to study Torah, because therefore, even if you interrupt during the day, or even if you didn't learn Torah right away after you made the bracha, according to the majority opinion, according to the first opinion, doesn't matter. You made a bracha, and it's about your overall obligation to study Torah. That overall obligation never leaves you. There are some times when you can't actually fulfill that. But so long as your general intentionality is to study, to continue studying, that hasn't been interrupted. With the tefillin, your actual placing the tefillin is cut off, because you can't put on tefillin in that place. What about Torah? Since you can't learn Torah, you may be bothered a little bit. You can't learn Torah, so maybe it's been cut off. So the Rebbe offers two things in the footnotes that will help us understand this. One is that, why aren't you learning Torah? Why aren't you studying Torah in the bathroom or even thinking Torah? Because the Torah said not to. So that there is your connection. There's a beautiful story that is told. This does not refer to in the Sicha, but I'll share it with you because of the beauty of it. The two brothers of the Melech of Lizhensk and the Bzusha of Anipoli were once imprisoned. And in that prison, there was one cell, many people in the cell, and there was a place where everybody had to make their needs. You can't study Torah there. So one of the brothers was crying, we can't study Torah there. The other brother asked him, why are you crying? He says, because you're not allowed to study Torah. There's bodily waste in the room. He says, why aren't you studying? He says, because God said not to study. So that's a mitzvah. Yeah, a mitzvah, we're doing a mitzvah. We have to be joyous. Okay, doing a mitzvah, they start dancing. The other non-Jewish prisoners see them dancing, two Jews dancing, they also start dancing. The prison warden comes in and says, hey guys, why are you dancing? So all the other prisoners point at these two brothers. He goes to the brothers and says, why are you guys dancing? They point at the pot with bodily waste. He says, that makes you happy? I'm taking it out of here. And I don't want prisoners happy, that's a crime. He takes it out and then they start dancing because now they can study. So there's two things here. The next footnote says, by the way, the mitzvah is, you're allowed to tell somebody a law to save them from doing a prohibition, right? Even if you see somebody doing a violation or something of the Torah, even if you're in the bathroom or in the bathhouse, you have to tell him, oh, don't do that, even though you're teaching Torah at that time. So in other words, it's still there on you, very much, very much so. However, only if a person really is not intending to study anymore, so then there's an opinion that that's enough to move his mind away from it. In other words, he's really saying, I'm not a studier. But the halacha is, by the way, that there's no such thing. Because of the obligation, we always have to study Torah, that for all of us, for all Jews, the obligation continues all the time. Well, 1 second, what about women? If they're just making a bracha because of the beauty of the Torah, so then, just like birchas hanani, just like enjoyment brachas, you should make it every time you have that enjoyment. Right? We said the reason we don't make a bracha every time separately is because of the mitzvah that's always incumbent upon us. When it comes to the mitzvah of women learning Torah, that's what Alter Rebbe says. The women are, or the reason we make the bracha of Torah when it comes to women is because they're also obligated in the mitzvah of Torah, and therefore it's an obligation that's on them all the time. And that's why they too only make it bracha once a day. We haven't found anywhere that there should be anybody that says that women should make have a different status as men, and they should make the bracha of learning Torah every time they learn Torah, because it's really about the enjoyment of Torah. And therefore, it doesn't apply all day. No. Therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, because it's about the mitzvah of Torah. You understand? Since they also have the mitzvah of learning Torah, so that applies the entire day. That's why they make the bracha of Torah. There's no distinction between them and men when it comes to the mitzvah of making of learning Torah, because they also have an obligation, and that's why they also make the mitzvah, the first part of the bracha of Torah. We said it, remember? Baruch atah Hashem elkeinu melech haolam shekid shanu mitzvei sof tzivanu al divrei Torah, who commanded us on the mitzvah of learning Torah. Women will also say that mitzvah. Just parenthetically, the Rebbe brings here in a footnote that there's a book called Pischei Olam, a sefer called Pischei Olam by a rabbi called Rav Dov Ber Karasik. If I understood correctly, he was around the time of the Tzemach Tzedek. A little bit after the Tzemach Tzedek, but he does propose there, the Rebbe doesn't quote him, but if you look it up, he does quote there a distinction perhaps between that perhaps women should make multiple blessings, but anyway, the Rebbe paskens here clearly, the Alter Rebbe says very clearly they're obligated in the, I can't quote what the Pischei Olam says. It's just I'm quoting it because it's fascinating how the footnotes here bring such a wide range of erudite works of Achreinim and Rishenim. There's so much going on. There's so many footnotes. There's so much going on which we haven't touched. The depth is just unbelievable. At any rate, so there is there a discussion about that. Perhaps there should be a difference between the classification. That women, if they had stopped studying during the day and then resumed studying, but lemaisa, clearly the Alter Rebbe says and the Rebbe paskens that the brachas of Torah is said once a day, and the reason that also for women it's once a day is because they're also saying the bracha because they have an obligation to study Torah, right? So that's what Alter Rebbe brings it in, because of their constant obligation to study Torah, and that's why it's enough for them to make also once a day, just like men. However, according to the opinion that says, why do we make a bracha once a day? It's because it's like the morning blessings, right? Which the Chachamim said we make them only once a day. So lechera with the question returns, why? If it's like the morning blessings, so we all make a bracha once a day. So why do we have to add it? Women are obligated in the study of Torah, in their halachas. What's the difference? It's a halacha. It's a halacha that we're making on the beauty of Torah. And we're thanking Hashem for the Torah once a day. So, men, women, it would be the same. It doesn't matter if the chiyuv, why does it make a difference if the obligation of studying Torah is continuing all day or not? L'chera, we're making a bracha on the gift of Torah once a day, and that should be enough. No, the Rebbe says no. There's a difference between the brachas hanenin, the brachas we make on having benefit every morning, that we make it once a day. We only make the nature of that set of brachas, of the morning brachas, is only brachas that come every day. That they come every day and that they continue for the entire day. So, for example, we don't make a bracha once on drinking water and continues the entire day, because that's not a benefit that carries it through the entire day. When we thank Hashem for being able to stretch our limbs, the whole day we benefit from that. Something that happens every day and continues through the day. Therefore, we make a once-a-day bracha. It becomes part of the ritual of making the morning blessings. However, when it comes to learning Torah, when it comes to, let's say, drinking water, it's not constant, so we make a bracha every single time. So therefore, if by women, the reason for making a bracha would be for the benefit of, for the beauty and joy and enjoyment of Torah, so therefore, it wouldn't be enough to make it once a day. It would be like drinking water. Every time they would come to study Torah, they would make the bracha. However, therefore, that's what Al-Tarabah adds, that by women also, the reason why the bracha is made once and it carries through and it spreads throughout the entire day is because they too are always under the obligation of learning Torah in the mitzvahs that relate to them. And as I said earlier, the Rebbe would often say, halavai, that all men would know all the mitzvahs that women are obligated to know. So there's a wealth and breadth of studying Torah that never ends for men and for women. And therefore the bracha of the Meikam Birchas HaTorah goes for the entire day. So, thank you very much. All the best.